Bruce Williamson joins me now, National Press Officer for the Rail Future Campaign Group. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning.
Just so that we're all clear then, tell us what your group focuses on when it comes to this rail action.
Well, I mean, obviously, we want, the clue is in the name, really. Rail Future, we want a better railway all round. And a railway where people are on strike obviously deters people from travelling by rail. So we're very disappointed that this conflict can't be resolved.
And for passengers, of course, fair to say, though, they haven't endured disruption for, well, a good while, thankfully, you know, but these latest walkouts come now, don't they, after pretty much a year of action. So it's back to either no service at all on offer or very few trains, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You could argue that from a striker's point of view, from the union's point of view, that, you know, it's pretty effective to have such drastic effect on the railway, but obviously that's not a good thing. I'm disappointed that it's dragged on like this. You know, like you say, quite rightly, we've had nearly a year of this, and I hate to be the doom monger, but I'd be very, very surprised if this is the last one.
As you say, your group campaigns for a better railway for everybody. So what would then be your message today to unions and the government over finally getting this dispute resolved? Why do you think it has dragged on for so long?
Well, quite simply, both sides are digging in their heels, I think, because they can. The rail unions would argue that any pay offer that is below inflation is effectively a pay cut. So on that level alone, you can kind of have a little bit of sympathy with them. On the other hand, there's no way they're going to get an inflation-based pay offer, and I think they know that. But they're pushing for something a little better, maybe closer to inflation, closer to 10%. On the other hand, the government, particularly the Treasury, I think, are sort of putting the squeeze on the DfT and Network Rail and the rail operators. And for that reason, you know, they'll be very, very resistant to any sort of pay rise, really.
And in your role, I'm sure you have conversations with all relevant sides in this dispute, but also I'm sure you speak to ordinary passengers. Any sense at all that the public's now losing sympathy with the rail unions and their bosses as they now, as we see, you know, continue to target weekends and really big events?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yes, the public are still largely sympathetic, but that sympathy has a limit, you know, and it's a calculation that the rail unions are making. You know, if they lose the public sympathy, they'll have to cave for whatever the latest offer is. But I think we're not at that stage yet.
Let me ask you too, just finally, yesterday we saw TransPennine Express, didn't we, being brought under government control, that big announcement from the Transport Secretary, after what ministers described as, I think the quote was, significant disruption and regular cancellations, which really had a bad impact on travellers. Now Labour's renewed calls for all rail operators to be nationalised. There's no doubt it would end up serving travellers better, wouldn't it?
It's not quite as cut and dried as that, but that there are examples, TransPennine and Northern and the East Coast Main Line, of where privatisation hasn't worked out, and the East Coast Main Line does seem to be a success story under national ownership. But it's more a case of the management, who's actually running the railway and how well they're running it. It's the competence of the people who are in charge that I think that matters.
Good to speak with you this morning, Bruce. Thanks ever so much for joining us live here on LBC News Breakfast. Bruce Williamson there, National Press Officer for the Rail Future Campaign Group.